On behalf of the board of Santa Rosa Christian Academy, faculty and staff and administration, I want to welcome all of you to today's graduation. Our commencement ceremony is much different than most. We center our ceremony on a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that has given us life. He has given us Himself. He has given every one of these young people that's on the platform today the ability to be able to learn, to be able to grow, and so we seek today to honor Him. Our commencement speaker today is no stranger to our Academy students. He spoke to them for the very first time nearly 5 years ago at a school mixer. These students were in eighth grade at the time, and our students have come to love and appreciate Mr. Nathan Morales. He has brought many challenging messages over the years in chapel times, and we invited him to come today to speak. Nathan Morales was born in Puerto Rico, came to the United States in 1987. He graduated from high school in 1996 in West Palm Beach, Florida. After graduation, he entered the United States Air Force and served for 4 years as a ground radio instrument landing systems technician. That's a mouthful, brother. Just shortly before entering the Air Force, the most important event took place in his life. He became a born-again Christian. After Nathan left the military in 2000, he went to work with the Crane Corporation in Fort Walton Beach as a radio frequency technician, working on high-voltage power supplies and RF transmitters for various applications, including communications, electronic warfare, and advanced weapons systems. During his tenure there, he has worked with several European and Middle Eastern governments in their military weapons systems. Nathan met his wife, Stephanie, after leaving the Air Force, and they were married in 2004. They have three beautiful children, Christiana, Jaden, and Juliana. Nathan is currently a senior at the University of Florida in the electrical engineering program there and will be graduating in the fall of this year. Would you please welcome Mr. Nathan Morales, our 2014 commencement speaker.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It is certainly both an honor and a privilege to be up here, and I am very, very appreciative of this opportunity to get to speak. I love young people. I get every chance that I get to talk with them. It's just really a blessing to me. It's something that the Lord, I believe, has put in my heart, and so I try to be faithful to that. So again, thank you so much for this opportunity. First and foremost, congratulations, class of 2014. This is a very, obviously, big day in your life, and along with that, congratulations, I'd like to, again, offer a big thank you to all the teachers and staff and everyone involved in these young people's lives for your work of patience and love and more patience and a little bit more patience after that, perhaps. But nevertheless, the Lord will surely reward us for our things that we have done for His honor and for His glory. Believe it or not, I do remember being a senior in high school. The first 2 years weren't that bad, but the third one was pretty rough. It took me two, but nevertheless, I remember sitting there, you know, waiting for the procession and thinking about the future. I knew life was about to change, and there's just so much excitement and at the same time uncertainty. And so that was nearly two decades ago, and I don't have to sit here and convince anyone that times have changed and not for the better. As a parent, I'm sure everyone all parents can identify that one of the biggest things that we as parents pray over is what kind of world will our children grow up into. And obviously, as we have seen, times have only progressed, just like the scripture said, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Yet here you are, all grown up, somewhat, perhaps, we hope. And so you're at a point where you obviously have a lot of big decisions, very big decisions ahead of you. When you start thinking about future career paths, perhaps who the Lord is going to bring in your life as a partner, And of course, a very big decision is whether Kyle's going to continue to support the Chicago Cubs. We can pray, and that's all we can do. But as I began to think about this, I want to start out with Hebrews 12:12 and sort of build the message. It's not hopefully very long. And then as we build the message, perhaps you'll be able to see why I selected Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Word of God says, let me begin with a quick word of prayer, if I have not already. Lord, we're so thankful for your mercy and your goodness to us, Lord. We're thankful that we can acknowledge you to be our sovereign God, the one who has made us, the one who has given us life, and ultimately your own life, Lord. We pray for this time, Lord, that as we spend time around your word, that you would be honored and glorified, that the message would go forth clearly, and that we'd be able to say we've heard from you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews 12:2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. One thing that I think holds true is that a lot of our decisions are based on how we believe the future is going to pan out. Is that not right? I think it's safe to say that a lot of us have spent some time as young people, or even now, depending on what stage you are, just thinking about the future, fascinating perhaps, thinking about it. And as I began to look at the scriptures, I started noticing that, you know, the people that we read about in the scriptures, they're not all that together different from us. I think it's clear to see in scripture that God knows us better than ourselves, and he has sought to calm our fears about the future by letting us know that he's in control. I think about Abraham. He has some big decisions to make. The Lord had called him to leave his family, to leave his countryside, to go into a land that he didn't know of. That's a pretty big decision. Yet in Genesis 15:1, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The Lord was trying to calm Abram down. He was saying, fear not. And how does the Lord try to accomplish that, try to alleviate his fears? Well, if you read the rest of the passage, the Lord goes on to tell him what the future holds. He tells them about how his seed would go down into Egypt and how they would be in bondage and ultimately come back to the land of Canaan and worship at the land of Canaan. What was the Lord trying to tell Abraham? The same message, I believe, is found in this course, that he who holds us in his hands has no problems, only plans. He who has control of all sees the smallest peril fall. He who works where no one knows does not sleep as we suppose, but works in all things, in great and small things, for his own glory and our best good. Gideon was another man faced with some tough decisions in life. The Lord had told him that he would be the deliverer of Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Yet he had to go up and face them with just 300 men. The Lord tells him, but if thou fear to go down with Phirah thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. We know the story. Gideon obeys. He goes down and he listens to men having a conversation. He hears about a dream that one of them's had, and the interpretation was that the Lord had delivered the Midianites into his hands. Again, what was the message? God knew that for Gideon to make that decision, he needed to trust that our God was in control. He needed to know that. The Lord again seeking to calm our fears. Now, the natural question for young people nowadays would be, well, I sure wish I had it that good. I wish I just heard a voice from heaven telling me this is a college and this is a person and all these things are planned out. They just had it really good back then. Well, guess what? In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Word of God says that we have a more sure word of prophecy in our hands. And he said that right after he said, we were at the mount with Jesus, and we heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. after he said that, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. This is the word of God. This is our compass. This is our guide. We have not been left helpless. The truth is that God has already given us some precious promises about our future that we can hold on to. 2 Peter 1:4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature. The Word of God is rich with promises that we can hang on to. We have to be diligent as Christians to get into the Word of God, because we're going to need these promises. Let me just give you some of the promises. John 16:33, young people, listen. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hebrews 13:5, he's told us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. In 1 John 4, the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and thereby we overcome. 2 Corinthians 12 tells us that his grace is sufficient for all of our needs, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. He promises that one day he will wipe away all tears. What a glad day that's going to be. He promises us, young people, that all things work together for good, but listen, to those who love God. To those who love God, that's a choice, young people. That's a decision. More important than deciding which college or which career path is deciding to give yourself for him. Deciding that whatever it is, you understand that we have this mentality that the mission field is somewhere else. If you're a doctor, your mission field is your coworkers. If you're a plumber, if you're a janitor, your mission are your coworkers. God has given us this ministry of reconciliation everywhere. The fields are ripe unto harvest. God is looking for vessels that will decide to live for him. There are many more promises. But the question is why are these promises so important? I believe the reason is because knowing the outcome is what the Lord will use. Knowing that God is in control, knowing that God will work those things that are for good, is what the Lord will use to get us through the darkest times in lives. Now let us look at our opening passages in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. In light of this viewpoint, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endure the cross. How was our Lord in earth, in a physical body, how was he able to endure the darkest period of his time? His mind was where? On the fact of that God has already promised a bride unto himself. The joy, the unspeakable joy of redeeming mankind. That when his nail-pierced hands were, when he would look at them, instead of seeing the pain, he would see how he would reach down to us. That's the glory, that's the joy that he looked forward to. And guess what, young people? The message today is a message of hope. That if you choose God, no matter what you go through, he'll be with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But again, the message is you must choose. We talked about decisions. And I believe that if we choose, we can join in chorus and say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, all life is worth the living just because he lives. Young people, it may not be the most fun, easiest path, but listen to me very carefully. It is the only path without regret. The only path. All we ask is that you live for him. That you would give of yourself to him. Decide to give him your all. It's all we ask. Now, I know this is a graduation, but I just want to take a quick minute to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone in here and you have pondered about eternity, if you're not sure, 100% sure that heaven is your home, you can know. This is not a maybe so, hope so, perhaps so salvation. It is a great salvation that the Lord has said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It is that simple. Let's not complicate it. Repentance and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a good work salvation. It's He has paid our price. He has done all for us. And just simple humbling and repentance and faith in the shed blood of Christ is what brings about a new creature in Christ. And then you can embark upon this wonderful journey where you decide to give your all for Him. That is our prayer. Thank you for your time. Let's finish in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you have promised to be with us. Lord, thank you that we don't have to fear. We know, Lord, that you work in our lives and that you've promised, Lord, that we follow you, that you are going to work all things for good. And we pray for these young people, Lord. We thank you so much that throughout their time here, Lord, there were not a number. There were an eternal soul that teachers labored from the word of life to try to nurture and admonition, to bring them up in nurture and admonition, Lord. And thank you so much for that. We pray again that you bless this day for them. In Christ's name, amen.